President Biden is set to meet with executives of major retailers and grocery stores at the White House this afternoon to discuss the ongoing backlog they're experiencing in their supply chains. Our next guest says port congestions out on the West Coast that have led to shipping delays are starting to show signs of a peak, but it's a different story in the skies. Let's bring in Peter Sand. He is the Meta Chief Analyst. And Peter, I know you've been gathering a lot of data on this front. It's interesting looking at your note here, saying that you're seeing the peak at the ports, but in many ways it's because the demand has now shifted to air freight.
There is still very much demand being taken care of by global liner shipping, but obviously, especially over the past coming month, when capacity on board those ships were in short supply, obviously some shippers opted for air freight out of the main hubs in Asia, predominantly Shanghai, and that of course led to a new peak of air freight rates, air cargo freight rates, and obviously something that that is likely to stick around for still a couple of weeks because of the short time it takes for an airplane, of course, to cross the Pacific as compared to a liner ship that needs to wait in line before cargo can be discharged in the U.S. West Coast ports.
And Peter, I want to talk to you about agriculture, because farmers, and this was anecdotal reports that I was getting as many as 2 months ago, but farmers were not able to secure the shipping for their grain to send to China and across the world because it was simply not economically viable. Those shipping containers that were coming into LA would simply empty and turn around, go back home for the next load of, I don't know, iPhones maybe. I'm just wondering, because air freight is not a solution for everybody. I don't think it's a solution for grains. Have these kinds of situations ameliorated?
Well, I think I've heard also some of the American agricultural exporters crying foul here. But if you look at the numbers, they are actually still capable of shipping quite a few containerized agribulks out of the U.S. West Coast ports, but perhaps not as many as they would like to. And it is also fair to assess that liner shipping companies have preferred to turn around the boxes empty much faster, simply due to the fact also that it could not, well, in economic terms, it made very little sense to spend, say, a week or two extra in North America for a dead cheap payload on the, say, the backhaul into Asia, when you could make 8,000 on the front haul. Why should you basically take 1,500 on the backhaul? But I think it's also a fair statement to say that the alternatives, of course, for many agribulk exporters is dry bulk shipping more than it's air freight. So there are alternative modes of transport, obviously, but it remains very much still struggling supply chains in and out of the U.S. West Coast in particular.
So, Peter, talk to me about what the next 3 weeks or so looks like. I know a lot of people over this weekend have been doing holiday shopping. That's all going to be shipped out through air freight in some way. How big of a surge are you anticipating?
Well, what we would basically like the most is, of course, to get more belly capacity on the Trans-Pacific. That means we need more real passengers transiting the Pacific. But with the Omicron virus variant striking across the board right now, we're very much unlikely to get added capacity on the Trans-Pacific trade lane for air cargoes. So it's very much a fight for capacity right now. But I think you will be unlikely to find empty shelves. But obviously, the selection that you will be capable of finding is likely to be a little bit slimmer than what you would otherwise expect. But we will see full air freighters out of the main hubs, and we will also see the big export hubs in China struggling with COVID, not only the Omicron, but also the classical Delta variant, as they also struggle not only to get all the goods into the airports, but also battling a power shortage, limiting somewhat some of the manufacturing hubs and their abilities to produce all the goods that is needed. But I think it's fair to say also that in recent months we have seen a record high level of inbound volumes into the American West Coast, and it is easing mainly on the hinterland connectivity side, as some of the measures taken, not only by the local port authorities, but definitely when they work together with the entire supply chain, the rail operators and the truck drivers, opening up 24/7 and actually making use of those vacancies, gate in, gate out, which has been a struggle from the very beginning. It's beginning to work, but obviously it's no normal times.
And really quickly here, there's a lot of accusations out there about the carriers taking advantage of this backlog that we're seeing right now, charging high prices, but also trying to lock in these long multi-year deals. Talk to me about what you're seeing on that front and how big of an increase are we talking about?
When compared to the levels that the shippers used to strike with the carriers at this point in time, we're talking about at least 2 to 3 times as high as they once were. And of course, we need to be very much aware that the spot market is still like twice as high as what the carriers are asking shippers to pay on long-term deals right now. But obviously, negotiations will be super tough. At the end, it will be exciting to see whether shippers, as we expect, will prioritize stability and predictability in the supply chains ahead of basically haggling for the final dollar on the freight rate, which is often the case. But at some point in time, at least for those annual agreements into Europe in particular, are up right now with those on the Trans-Pacific due as we move into the second quarter next year. But tough times ahead for all parties involved.
Well, also concerns that could now be passed down onto consumers as well. Peter, it's good to talk to you today. Zenetta Chief Analyst Peter Sand joining us there.